Fred Film Radio, Festival du Cannes, France.
Fred Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 72nd Festival de Cannes. I'm in company of Babak Ambari, who's here to present in the Cannes Realizateur Director's Fortnight, Wounds. Before going to the screening, I read some reviews from the Sundance Film Festival, and there was one that hit me because he said that you were actually the only director who could make something out of Army Hammer's tall physicality. I mean, and do you agree? I mean, I agree. I mean, I think he's great in the film.
To be honest with you, I don't think it was me. I think Armie Hammer is an incredibly talented man, and I felt really lucky to have him on this film. And I mean, the entire film, he carries the entire film. It's all about him. And what I like about him, he loves a challenge. And he told me he had never done something like this before. He never went that dark. Gone that dark, and he was like, he's well up for it, and he really went for it. I mean, you can see his transformation from the beginning to the end, and it was really key for us. Casting that role was really tricky and important because we wanted to find someone who was charming and friendly, and like when the film starts, you think, oh, I want to be friends with this guy, and a bit by bit you realize that, you know, he's a bit questionable as a character. So you know, because if you don't have that with such a film, you know, you wouldn't, when the film starts, you wouldn't like necessarily want to go on that journey with him, which hopefully if you did everything wrong, I think Armie brings that charm to the character, at least that mask of charm for the character, that it bit by bit drops.
Why were you interested in the novella and in the horror genre? For the metaphors?
What I love about horror is that, thank you very much. What I love about horror as a genre is that you can use metaphors and allegories, like sci-fi, without being too on the nose. And for me, what the novella is about, that's why I think it was a great follow-up to Under the Shadow, because Under the Shadow is about the ascent of this woman, faces these obstacles and manages to overcome them and liberate herself at the end. But this one is about the descent of a man, you know, like with a healthy portion of toxic masculinity, thinking that, like, you know, he can take whatever he needs because he's charming and he's friendly, and then, but the deep inside is very shallow and hollow, and then that how that hollowness can be a perfect place to attract darkness, and like you know, it actually becomes infested, you know, with this darkness, and like so again, I thought it was a great metaphor to see this person who just goes down this path to hell and gets embraced by darkness because of his behavior.
Since the horror genre has been often overused, what did you want to avoid of the genre, and what do you want to explore instead?
Sure. I mean, one of the main things for me, like the film doesn't have any score. It's all sound design, and I always, you know, it's not that I never want to use score in any of my films, but for this one and Under the Shadow, I felt like I don't need to use score. It's about creating an atmosphere with sound. To answer your question, it's not about like finding tricks, and for me, it's about thinking I'm a wimp. I get really scared easily, and it's always about like what scares me and unsettles me, and then sharing that with the world. So that's where I go to. That's my go-to place. So everything you see in both of my films, actually my own phobias and fears, and like I said, I'm a scared cat.
Cockroaches included?
Well, I mean, who's not afraid of cockroaches?
Is that your only fear?
Cockroaches? No, I'm afraid of anything and everything. I'm afraid of, even though the rational side of me thinks like, you know, there's nothing supernatural with the world, I have this other side that deeply believes in it, and like, like I said, I scare myself easily. Yeah, I have many fears.
But this might be the reason why you opted for the horror genre in first place.
Yeah, I agree with you, and that's what I love about it. I think Del Toro said this very amazing story that, which I really related with. He said when he was a child, he used to get scared a lot at night. And one night he made a pact with the monsters and said, if you leave me alone, I will forever like dedicate myself to tell stories about you. And I was like, oh my God, it sounds like me. That's what, you know, it's just facing my own fears, yeah.
The film seems to be very much of this day and this America. The clash between classes, all much of that is already in the novella, The Visible Filth.
Novella definitely touches on it, but I think that's why I thought it was a great jumping off point to explore something very interesting in this current climate. Like I said, I didn't want to become too preachy, and that's the beauty of horror. Like, you can watch it as a fun film, or you can dig deep and see if there's any other layers underneath it. But there were so many things, like I said, like toxic masculinity, which in the past 2 years we've been hearing a lot of news and stories about it. And millennials, how they hide in the shadows behind their gadgets and they destroy the world. I'm a millennial, so, you know. You know, even like the current political climate that we're in, some of it is like affected by like these millennials behind there, like secretly. That was one of the important things, that's why I didn't want to show too much of these college kids. I wanted them to be always like in the background, like the puppet masters, like controlling things. And you know, ultimately also with Will's journey, how it becomes like almost like at the end, like Eric's character, who's this lonely, angry man full of rage, and you know you just wonder, like, is that his future?
Your first film, Under the Shadow, was also political. Is it necessary for you to also talk about today's political situation?
Both of these films, if I'm the risk of sounding a bit pretentious, you know, I love to tell stories that I have a personal connection with. Both of these films, I feel that way, and so I can put my heart and soul into it. And yeah, but Under the Shadow, you know, that stems from a very personal place, because I was born in Iran and I grew up there, and you know, part of my childhood was basically, I was like more or less the same age as the child in that film when the war was happening. So you know, that's what interests me about storytelling and filmmaking, really. Yeah.
In terms of personal fears reflected in the film, what scares you the most? The things that could happen to your mind, so to your character's mind, or the things that could happen outside of your protagonist's world?
Well, I mean, I guess fear comes first. It's an internal thing that becomes external sometimes. I think you're bang on about, like, this film is about personal demons, or basically accepting demons within, like surrendering yourself to like a force of darkness that is beyond your understanding, because you're lost soul. I live a lot in there, and that can be a very scary place. Yeah.
How did you work with Netflix? Did you make the film and then sold it to them?
No, they were involved in from the. I think they bought it at Berlin in 2018. But that side of things, I focused on making the film. That was like Annapurna and Netflix. But I'm happy that they came on board and supported it. Yeah.
And talking about Netflix, what's your position in this whole Netflix against Cannes, streaming against cinema theater?
Look, it's an interesting one. As a filmmaker, obviously, I love going to cinema. I enjoy watching films on a big screen in a dark room. It's almost like it has that dream feel. But I also, I'm a nerd. I watch a lot of films. I love watching stuff streaming as well, the access. And as an indie filmmaker, I think it's an exciting, my position is that it's giving hope to a lot of like independent filmmakers who's struggling, you know, in this kind of climate that tentpoles and big budget films are dominating cinemas, struggling to find a venue to show your film. You know, these streaming platforms are giving them hope that they can make a film and they can like view it to millions of people, if that makes sense.
And we'll be talking to Baba Kambari, director of Boon's screening at the 72nd Festival de Cannes in the Cannes-Centre, the directors for night. And this is Chiara Nicoletti for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.